loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts. He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot, Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down, and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes! With 1 second remaining.
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into another episode of Pick and Pod. I'm Owen Kelty, joined by Gabby Price and Izzy Randazzo. We got the GOAT, Colin Busy Banks, producing this one. Super excited for this show. Before we get into some hoops talk, how you guys doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. It's Friday. We finally made it to the end of the week. This is my first Pick and Pod, so it's a good day, guys.
Ooh, TGIF. This is also my first time on Pick and Pod.
No way.
Big moves for us.
Just super exciting stuff back on Pick and Pod. You know, the best podcast that we have here because basketball is the best sport, I think.
True.
Personally.
Agreed.
Yeah. So we have a little mixture here of people. We got two Knicks fans, a Philly fan, boo. Everyone hates Philly, and then a Bulls fan. So it'll be a mixture of everything today. But we're going to start off with the Knicks. Knicks are 5-3 and 5-0 at home. I don't know if this is – the Rangers are 0-5. Knicks are 5-0 at home. I think we'll take that. We'll keep trading those off. So hopefully the Rangers keep losing at home and the Knicks keep winning at home. But last Knicks game, huge win over the Timberwolves, 137-114. They destroyed the Timberwolves, and they got scoring from every single person. Six guys in double digits. Mitchell Robinson with probably the greatest rebounding game I've ever seen from any player. He's been so important to this team so far to start the season, especially being hurt constantly. Throw it to you first, Gabby. Like, kind of what have you seen from Mitchell Robinson in his short games that he's played? I mean, 16 minutes. He's still on a minutes restriction, but how important is he to this team?
Yeah, I think you saw the Wednesday night. Super important. Like, the team, when he's on the court versus off the court, looks very different, honestly. And it just, his rebounding game, I mean, Brown said it in the postgame conference. You were there, Owen, yep. So you can speak a little bit more to this, though. He just said, like, has anyone seen this many rebounds in 60 minutes of play? So, love having him back. Obviously, very small sample size early in the season. Obviously, their priority is still to keep him healthy, which I think after seeing his first few games should be the priority because you don't want him out long term. But, yeah, super important.
Yeah, the Knicks need Mitchell Robinson if they want to go anywhere this year, and the fact that his ankles are made of barbecue chicken is just not helpful. He's been hurt almost every single year. Last year he only played 16 games, so they're being super careful with him. He's pretty usually playing every other game at this point, and he still is on a minutes restriction, still has left multiple games with an ankle injury. I don't really know how they're going to get him to make it to the playoffs, but they do have to get him to the playoffs. Now go to you, Izzy. What should they do in his situation? I mean, he can't stay healthy. He's showed that over the last 5 years. Do you just continue doing what you're doing where you're only playing him these short minutes, like 16 minutes, 15 minutes in these games and not playing him every day? Or do you think you have to at some point, like, just bite the bullet and be like, all right, he's either going to be healthy or he's not going to be healthy?
It's hard to say because, you know, there are other players on that team that are successful and have proven to be successful. But I feel like, you know, playing him too much is obviously kind of an issue because obviously you don't want him to get more injured. So, I mean, it's tough to say, I guess.
Well, and if you do want him for long minutes, though, that has to come not now. Mm-hmm. That can't come in November. Wait till post-Christmas at least to see that type of long-term minutes from him, right? Like,
yeah, last year he came back in like very end of the year. He only played 16 games, and at that point he was playing every other day. But then you saw in the playoffs how important he was, and then he was still playing over 30 minutes in the playoffs. Shout out Tom Thibodeau. But, I mean, I really don't think the games now, I mean, every game's important, but the games where you need Mitchell Robinson are going to be at the back half of the year when you're competing for that one seed, getting into the playoffs. I don't think you can really burn him out now, especially in a November Wednesday night game versus the T-Wolves. I know it's a big game, but 9 offensive rebounds in 16 minutes. That's insane. He had more offensive rebounds as Rudy Gobert, who's supposed to be one of the best rebounders in the league. It was incredible to watch being there in person. I mean, Mike Brown was in awe. Chris Finch was in awe after the game. I mean, everyone was kind of just like, this is absurd. 9 offensive rebounds, 16 minutes, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks. And then in the post game, he was just like, That's what I've been doing. And it's like, shout out Mitchell Robinson, man. He just knows what he's doing. He's the best rebounder in the league, and he knows it. He's just got to stay healthy. Other storylines from this game, Jalen Brunson flirted with his first ever triple-double, 23 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. I thought he was going to get it. He had 7 rebounds in the third quarter and then just didn't get another one. I don't know if we'll ever see Jalen Brunson get a triple-double, but really, he's been great to start this season. I think he's averaging 28 points a game, six assists. But the Knicks are getting scoring from everyone. This Mike Brown system is new, and you can see that they're starting to adjust to it. Gabby, you've been to a few games this year. You're watching the team, Knicks fan, obviously. How do you think that the difference now in Wednesday night's game, we're seeing them adjust to the new Mike Brown system?
Yeah, it looks so much better, I think, from the first game, from the first couple games. And I think it even after their three-game loss streak, one of those being the Bulls, of course, that Sunday night or whatever it was, it looked so much better the past three games, so much quicker, less turnovers, which I think was huge. There was a lot of just like messy play, and I think they've kind of cleaned that up now. Shots have been falling. Obviously, that whole cat cooked? No, obviously not. It's game four. He's been so much better. Josh Hart has gotten his buckets to fall. So it is only going to get better.
Yeah, this, you can tell how comfortable they're starting to get, especially Josh Hart came out on Sunday night. Maybe it was Friday night. I don't really remember. But that he has nerve damage in his hand and at some points he just can't feel his hand at all. You definitely need your right shooting hand when you're playing basketball. But since that, he has had three really good games. 14-9-3, 12-10-5, and last game, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. I think he was 4-5 from 3. Izzy, how important is Josh Hart to this team? And do you think, I mean, this has been a big debate in the Josh Hart sphere of Knicks Twitter. Should he get that surgery to repair his hand and be back by the playoffs? Or there's a chance he would miss the playoffs at that point. Or does he just, you know, play it out and see if he can figure it out with this hand injury?
I feel like it's better to be preemptive and kind of, you know, get that surgery to make sure, or, you know, at least have a better chance that he'll be back for the playoffs. That being said, I mean, I'm not the biggest Knicks fan, obviously, being a Bulls fan, but I think that there are guys on the team that are better with just, like, just aspects of the game. So I feel like it wouldn't be detrimental to have him be out and go get the surgery, if you guys know what I mean.
What about you, Gabby? Think he just rides it out or go for the surgery?
I mean, I think him as a person, he's going to ride it out. I don't think
he's not getting that surgery.
He's not getting it. He would rather obviously be with the team. Should he have gotten it before the season?
Yes.
Probably, definitely yes, right? Like, you wouldn't get it mid-season now. He's not the type of guy to. And after the past couple of seasons, he is so great on the court for the Knicks just with rebounding. And assists and being just an all-around glue guy for the Knicks. But, I mean, at this point, I don't think he should get the surgery. Like, whether he wants to or not, he obviously doesn't. I don't think he should get it.
Yeah, the Knicks still obviously struggling on defense, gave 114 points, shut down Anthony Edwards, who had a bad game, 15 points, 5 of 13 shooting. They're still figuring out this rotation. I don't know if, Colin, you want to come in here on your guy, Gershon Yabusele. He is so out of shape. He's been playing 3 minutes a game, only in the first half. Last game he played 9 minutes.
Listen.
So much of it came in garbage time.
I don't know what you guys have done to my boy, but you've turned him into something I don't recognize. All right? He was not like that last year.
No, he was not.
He was an excellent role player last year.
Yeah, I don't really know.
50 from the field, 38 from three, could play defense, literally like the most hustle player on the Sixers last year, and now he's like a shell of himself, and that's the Knicks doing. I'm not going to blame him on anything else.
I saw him dunk on LeBron James, and now he's like can barely even jump. I mean, I think it's...
Maybe he put on a little weight, but...
Yeah, I mean, but he's played basketball for the last year straight.
Yeah, and he looked great last year, like in terms of the shape he was
he
in.
He did
like,
Olympics, the Sixers season, and
dunking on
FIBA.
Everybody during the regular season.
Yeah, and then after FIBA, between that and Knicks training camp, I don't know what happened.
I don't know, maybe... One too many chopped cheeses.
He's been borderline unplayable for the Knicks. I mean, 9 minutes in this game.
Yeah. I mean, 10 minutes a game.
Not even. Like, he played 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute.
Yeah, I mean, I don't recognize him anymore.
He's starting. He does look a little bit. He looks in better shape recently. He's been out there looking better. But The Knicks are still going to be able to figure out this rotation. Right now they're playing like nine guys, nine and a half, if Yabusele plays 10 minutes in the game. But the Knicks rotation has been, it's been good. The offense is really frying everyone. Defense struggling a little bit, but that's what's going to happen when you have a team led by Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns. You're going to have to hope that they'll just outscore everyone. Knicks' next game will be against Brooklyn at home Sunday. They'll be hopefully go 6-0 at home. But we'll move on to the pitiful Nets. They are 1-7, 1-6, 1-7, 6-7. Wow. They're 1-7. They got their first win on Wednesday night against the 1-7 Pacers. Kurt Sipple, shout out Cozy Kurt. Was so excited that the Nets had gotten a win. He was saying that the Nets are back. Season's back on. The Nets are 1-7. Their five first round picks had a total of 0 points. Things are not looking great in Brooklyn. I know they're heading towards the lottery, heading towards AJ DeBanta, one of the Boozer twins, and a loaded draft class, but this is going to be a painful season, and I really don't understand. I mean, I'm just going to throw this out to you guys. The team stinks. Why are all five rookies not playing? Like, Igor Demin was their eighth overall pick. He played 13 minutes. I mean, what are we doing?
I mean, he's been abysmal, though.
Yeah,
in those minutes.
The whole team is abysmal.
I don't blame them for not playing Demin, but I do blame them for not playing Danny Wolf and Trior and
Saraf.
I mean, Cedric Powell, right? Cedric or Drake Powell.
Yeah.
He looked decent. He looked the best out of them, but I think they need to give some minutes to those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't understand it. I want to hear what you guys think. Not playing the young guys and giving Michael Porter Jr. 35 minutes and Trey Mann.
Well, I do feel like Michael Porter Jr. is the best. He's the best guy on the team. And I feel like, you know, when we're talking about Danny Wolf and Ben Chiarov, I have an internship with the Nets. Ben Chiarov is not good. I'm going to be so honest. I do not think that Ben Chiarov is good at basketball. He just, when I saw him play, I just feel like he's kind of sloppy, doesn't really like, he has, you know, that hand-eye coordination, the awareness on the court, but it's, I don't know if it's like a chemistry thing or maybe it's just too early on in the season, but.
And not like room for improvement there?
There definitely could be, but it's based on what I saw and what I've been seeing with them. I don't know if, like, I don't know if he's ready.
Yeah, I feel like they reached on a lot of those picks, especially the eighth pick. The eighth pick was Demin, right? He was the eighth overall pick. And then making all five first-rounders. I don't know the last time a team made five first-round picks. They probably should have traded a bunch of those for more draft capital. And, like, what are you gaining right now from Michael Porter? I mean, Michael Porter Jr. is a very good player. But you're 1-7. He's playing 35 minutes, taking 20 shots. I mean, some of those shots. I mean, Igor Demin, oh, my God, 0-6. He does stink. Oh, boy. Cam Thomas, only 6 minutes. It's been rough.
Well, and now Cam Thomas is hurt.
Oh, he's
now
hurt.
Now you don't even have him in.
I didn't even know he was hurt.
At least for tonight. Yeah, he's out tonight.
Yeah, I mean the Nets are in a rough spot, very rough spot. I guess you just hope for the first overall pick. I guess at this point.
At this point, they're on track.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The Pacers are pretty bad. There's a lot of bad teams in the league right now, and it'd be so funny. It would be my dream if I could just see Cozy Kurt just suffering. Nets be the worst team in the league. They win like 10 games this year, break the Sixers record for worst season of all time, and then they just don't get the first pick. Be kind of awesome. But the Nets, not a good team, probably will not be a good team for a couple of years. It's going to be a rough season for Nets fans. All five of them are really, you know, going to be devastated. I don't even know. Do we think Chris Carino even watches us anymore on
probably
the beat?
Probably not.
I don't think
so. I mean, being on the beat is obviously fun and amazing opportunity, but
you see them lose every time.
Yeah, that'd be rough. Going to terrible. Brooklyn to watch your team lose every single time.
Every other day.
Yeah. I mean, that's so tough. Yeah. Couldn't be us on the Knicks beat. Actually not seeing any losses so far. But we got Knicks Nets on Sunday night. Hopefully the Knicks win by 40. If they don't win by 40, it'd be very. It just screams Michael Porter Jr. 50-point game. But Knicks probably still gonna win. We'll move to the best team now, right now, in the East, the Chicago Bulls, Izzy's Bulls. Colin got a little excited there. We're not talking about the Sixers. Not the best team in the East.
I'm aware. But
where are they right now?
Soon.
Soon. 5-3, same record as the Knicks. I don't know. But we'll go Bulls first, then we'll get to your Sixers. Bulls with the amazing comeback the other night against the Sixers. They were down 24. They come back. They win 113-111 on Vucci Main's game-winning shot. Izzy, just explain that experience. You, just you versus Colin. Let's just get between you two. Let's hear your side watching a 24-point comeback and then you watching your team cripple in utter despair.
It's insane, honestly. Vooch and Josh Giddey are clutch-time players. They can almost, not almost always, but for the times that the Bulls have come back really dramatically, it has been those two players. So as a Bulls fan used to, you know, the Bulls kind of choking as of, you know, the last few years, it's incredible to see. Like, it really just it gets me hype, gets me pumped.
I mean, it was just a slow onslaught that I could see coming the entire third quarter. I mean, Sixers offense just completely stagnant, nothing there. And, like, I literally had to go for a walk after the game. Like, I honestly... That was, like, one of the worst losses I can remember in regular season history.
Wow. But that's regular, crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that in regular season wow. history.
Okay. Is that compared to the game two, DiVincenzo?
We're not talking about playoffs, all right?
I mean, the Bulls have been on one. Josh Giddey has become he's a new player this year. He's got 29, 15, and 12 last game. He's averaging 23, 10, and 9, almost averaging a triple-double this season. He seems to really found himself in Chicago after, you know, being in the shadow of SGA in Oklahoma City and behind all those guys. He's kind of more of a role player. Now he's the guy in Chicago. He's able to drive into the paint, kick it out to everyone. And, you know, they're really not getting, and at least in that game, they weren't getting a ton of contributions from anyone besides Gideon Vooch. I know Isaac Okoro, Knicks fans hate that guy for some reason, but 16 points. But I don't understand it. How are the Bulls good, Izzy? How are they 6-1?
Honestly,
the team's not that good.
Honestly, I don't know. I'm at a loss because last year, for example, a lot of potential. We had a brand new first round pick, Modest Bouzelis, incredible. Love him. Met him once. Great
wow.
guy. A lot of potential there. I don't know if it's because of Billy Donovan, our head coach, or I don't know if it's just the way that the players can't exactly gel together and work in a in an efficient manner together, but this year is looking different. Don't know why. Don't know what it's attributed to, but I'm happy.
I mean, Ayo Dosunmu?
Yeah.
I mean, he's looked really good in mm-hmm. the games he has played.
Mm-hmm. Kobe White hasn't even
Kobe
played
Kobe White's
yet, right?
Not even back.
He hasn't,
and,
no.
I mean, I love Kobe White. I can't lie.
I like Kobe White, too.
Kobe
so,
White
so
is
good.
Like
he
one of my favorite
He had a game
with
the Knicks
players.
Last year when Josh Hart smacked him in the head for the and-one. That was brutal to watch.
I mean, him and Giddey, that's... Because Kobe White's more of a score-first, like attacking guard. Mm-hmm. That obviously complements Giddey.
Yeah.
Vooch somehow isn't retired
Turn
yet.
Back the clock.
He still looks...
Don't
I mean,
know.
He's always 18 and 10, but
and
this is
like
a solid
Bulls
18
fans
and 10.
Have like wanted to get rid of him for years. Like, they traded for him so long ago, and every year it's been like, who are we trading Vooch to?
Rightly so, though.
I mean,
it was all like empty numbers.
Playing team.
But, he's looked decent. Like, he's looked like Magic Vooch
43.
Recently.
He does look like
that. Can't believe he hit that shot, though. I mean,
I couldn't either.
I can't believe it either, honestly.
And I knew it was going in, too.
I was very shocked.
Yeah, I mean, once you blow a 24-point lead, you know every shot.
No, I knew everything was. And
it's like game one of the Knicks. When Tyrese Haliburton took that shot, I was like, it's going in.
Yeah,
like, there was no chance
that
shot was ever missing.
They had so many opportunities to prevent that. We just were kept going down the court, and it would just be like Embiid ISO. And it's like, bro, you like. I love Embiid, like that's my goat, but you can't move right now. Like you can't do it right now. Like we need to do pick and pop if he's going to be scoring the ball.
He just can't get in the paint.
At least that late in the game. And then Maxey to try and it was I don't think it was for no it was for the game winner beforehand, and then we fouled them. Who was it that missed both free throws? It was I don't even remember. Maybe I'm thinking of a different game. I don't even know. But Maxey threw up some floater that was just so bad when that should have been the Embiid possession. Like, that was the Embiid possession. And then Maxey just takes it. I mean, I love Maxey. Mm-hmm. He's playing like the MVP. Can't lie.
He is.
He'll
be in that conversation as of right now.
As of right now, definitely. He's in the conversation. He's took a playmaking leap, which I've been waiting for. Because having Embiid as your best playmaker is not a way to win.
No.
No.
But, yeah, he's looked good. He's rebounding the ball defensively. Maybe one of the greatest developments I've ever seen. He was a scrub defensively as a rookie second-year player. He's actually, like, kind of solid now. Like, that's not even an exaggeration.
Good defender?
He's actually pretty solid. He can't guard a guy like Giddey, obviously. Yeah. Giddey's, you know, what, 6'7"? I mean,
I think he's 6'6". Oh, my but, God. You know, any excuse to say 6'7", guys.
But, like, you could put him on a guy like Io, and you know, he'll do decent.
I mean, I'm looking at the Grimes took the game-winning shot. They had three straight missed field goals. Or he had three straight, five straight missed threes, 11 straight missed team field goals, and 10 straight missed team threes. I mean, talk about cold.
Well, actually, the play that set up the Grimes shot was actually, like, perfectly run. It was a wide-open look. He just missed it. I mean, I'm not going to blame him for that. I'm going to blame the Sixers in general for stinking it up in the fourth quarter. But it was actually a good, like, drawn-up play.
Yeah. Let's go back to the Bulls real quick. I have a question for you guys. Gabby, we'll go to you first. Do they maintain this, or do they end up being, like, the classic Bulls play-in team? Or you just, like, Bulls, I don't even know, Raptors, you know, the casual play-in teams every year. But 6-1 right now, do you think they maintain this, or you think we'll see, like, a regression for them?
I mean, I think they're definitely going to go through a losing streak. I also, you look at the teams that they have already played. Detroit's the best team they played. They played Orlando,
Knicks,
Atlanta,
Sacramento,
the Knicks.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa. Sorry, the Knicks have the
best team
that they played.
What about the Philadelphia 76ers?
All right.
No.
Well, evidently not anymore.
Are we just putting down the Sixers that quickly?
I don't really have much faith in the Sixers.
Hey, is this something that you guys don't consider, like, a debate?
Like, the Sixers being
Pistons,
one of the best?
Knicks?
I don't think the Sixers are in the top three.
Paul George isn't even back yet.
All right. That makes your team worse.
Yeah, I agree.
No.
I agree.
You don't actually believe that. Like, that will free up so much space. He's a shot maker. Like, we need PG right now.
And need is a crazy statement. I mean, I guess he's making $5 billion, so you gotta
play him. We need PG. We need McCain to, like, be back in his form. Like, this is a team that, if everything goes well, is just gonna get better.
So you have them the top three in the East. You have it.
I always do.
It's wishful thinking.
I don't have the Bulls staying in the top.
No,
I think the Bulls will regress,
just,
too.
I can't ever be negative about them, or nothing good will happen. So
true. Izzy, you're the fan of the team.
Yes.
Do you think they maintain this, or you think it starts to, you know, crumble a little bit?
I think they can maintain it for a little bit, maybe. They really just need to work on their threes and reduce the turnovers, because these are easy fixes. Then they're little mistakes that in the past have cost them games. Mm-hmm. Last season, that was the majority of why they were so poor at basketball. But yeah, I mean, I feel like they just need to keep the momentum going, keep that confidence going, because once they go on a losing streak, it's only downhill from there. It's never going to improve.
Yeah, the Bulls have played five of their seven games at home. What kind of scheduling is that?
I don't know.
That's lucky.
Chicago's just electric.
I guess they're just winning every game. If I had to put my top three in the East by the end of the season, probably Knicks, Cavs, Pistons. I don't think Sixers would probably be a five seed.
What about the Bucks?
No, the Bucks aren't. I have no faith in the Bucks. The Bucks are 5-3 right now, and that's just solely because Giannis is, like, the greatest player ever.
Ryan Rollins has looked.
He's looked very good,
really
too.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow, my computer's gonna die. This is tragic.
If I were a Bulls fan, I would be optimistic, because Kobe White hasn't played a single game.
That's true.
And
it's
he
true.
Has been better than Gabe.
Career.
Like 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
But, like, for the last 2 years, maybe I'd say Kobe White would be 1A. But, he's a great scorer. He can do – he could shoot way better than Giddey. I mean, he might be their best option just for instant offense.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't played a single game.
Especially, I mean, talk about – I mean, Giddey also, I think, would be in the MVP conversation right now. He's one of the best players in the East right now,
along with
Giannis, who's averaging 34 points a game, 12 rebounds. Giannis is just an insane player. Bulls play Giannis tonight. We'll see if they're able to shut him down. Probably not, because I don't think anyone can.
We'll see.
Can't believe the Knicks could have traded for him, and we just didn't do it. That's really tough. Giannis is probably the best player in basketball at this point. Probably has been over the last couple of years. Should have won a couple more MVPs, except had to go against Nikola Jokic. You don't think Giannis should have a couple more MVPs?
I think Embiid should have a couple more
MVPs.
No! Oh, my gosh.
No, Embiid should have won 21-22.
No!
And then
Embiid shouldn't even have won his own MVP.
Oh,
you
don't believe
that.
I believe that.
33 points a game should have won MVP.
I believe that.
Well, who else is
Giannis
doing that?
Giannis or Jokic should have won that MVP.
Oh, that's just like, I can't even dignify that with
Embiid
a response.
Got such a pity MVP.
I agree.
There's
be like
no
Cal Raleigh
such thing
MVP
as a pity MVP.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
That's what Cal Raleigh's
going to
get.
That's not what they do.
What?
That's not what they do.
It's called voter fatigue.
No. Who would Giannis have ever won another MVP over? If anything, Harden should have won that MVP.
No, he would have beat Harden also.
No. 100%. Harden deserved that MVP.
Embiid should have zero accolades.
No, that's false. Greatest player I've ever seen play.
Embiid?
I mean, what
greatest Sixer you ever seen?
He averaged 36, 12, and 6 while being the best defender in the NBA and then got injured, sadly, by Kuminga. But before that, maybe the best stretch of basketball I've ever
Kuminga
seen.
Kuminga did spear his knee.
I don't know, when Ouch. Curry averaged 30. Probably the best basketball I've seen since then.
That's
Miami Bron, 2018 Bron would be in that convo.
You're putting 2018 Bron in the same conversation as
yes.
Joel Embiid.
Yes, who has averaged 36 points a game?
He was not going to maintain that, though.
He was. He was maintaining it at an excellent rate. I mean, it was insane to watch. Like, every night I knew I was in for, like, a treat. I was like, oh, like, who we got tonight? Like, who's food tonight? Like, who's he dropping 40 on? Like, that was literally every night.
And then Jonathan Kuminga just swan-dived.
Yeah, I hate Jonathan Kuminga.
Do you think you hate Jonathan Kuminga more than LeBron fans hate Solomon Hill?
No, because simply because as a player, like as an archetypal player, I would actually really like a Jonathan Kuminga on the Sixers. So I can't actually hate him that much. I hate him, but I like don't hate the idea of him. That makes sense.
It makes sense. I mean, I get what he's saying. You can separate the two.
Sounds like a very complicated, like a toxic relationship.
I'm separating the art from the artist.
Oh, okay. I've heard that one before.
I like what he does on the court. I just, now I don't like him personally.
Yeah, but is he on like a list of if you ever saw him in the street, you would like verbally have cost him?
No, because he would do, I don't know what he would do to me.
Yeah, true, true.
Fair enough.
Probably, yeah. I would not
it's
also
a fear
wanna,
factor.
I would never want to fight Jonathan Kuminga, NBA player. But going back, you know, talking about Solomon Hill and LeBron, tying us all back in together. Stay with me now. The Lakers are 7-2 right now. LeBron has not touched the court. And then Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic have been in and out of the lineup. Lakers are looking like one of the best teams in the league. Had an incredible, I mean, that game on Wednesday night against the Spurs was just, it was an absurd game to watch between Marcus Smart not going out of bounds to throw the ball in. And then the Spurs almost getting two tip-ins for the game tie to send it to overtime, missing free throws. But the Lakers are good. I actually thought they were going to be terrible this year. Kind of shocks me to even say that the Lakers are good. But no LeBron so far, which I'm going to bring up an interesting conversation here. Like, do the Lakers need LeBron? Like, he's 41. Mm-hmm. At this point, they're 7-2 without him. You could trade him, realistically. Trade him to the only team I think that can make the contract work would be to the Cavs and get like a legitimate big. If you got Jared Allen, another role player, would you trade LeBron? Like, if you're the Lakers, you're 7-2, he's 41 years old, you can get more people for the future.
Right. LeBron is great, and like, I love what he does, and I think he's good for the Lakers, but I also don't know if there's any trade market for LeBron.
I think the Cavs would. They're all in.
I don't think they would. Like, what would their package even be?
It'd have to match his contract. So, would he make 53? It'd have to be a Jared Allen.
I mean, yeah, like you could 30. Get rid of Jared Allen
and
for
then
LeBron. I mean,
someone else.
Evan Mobley, maybe.
I think that'd be too much
money.
But
does LeBron work maybe. For that team? Know. Like,
but, like, you're not thinking with your head here. They're thinking with, like, the idea that LeBron, Cleveland.
Who said they're doing that? They're not doing the
that's
welcome
such a
home.
That's such a Cleveland, like, thing to do. They're all in on a ring this year. They go out, they get LeBron. I mean, from the Lakers' standpoint, though, like, you would think about chopping LeBron, right?
I mean, maybe, but I think they'll just be better when he comes back, honestly. Maybe not better, but, like, come on, he's the guy. You know?
Right now, they don't need him. They're getting insane games from Nick Smith Jr. They're getting games from Jake LaRavia.
Can Austin Reeves keep that up?
I think so. I think he can.
I agree. And Luka's averaging 40 points a game. Some Luka magic. That's insanity.
Well, I mean, that's unreal. That's not going to stay up.
You don't know that one. Oh, so Embiid can average 36,
wow.
but Luka can average 40.
He did over 40 games, though.
All right, Luka.
It's a few games in.
All right, we'll see.
And he's already getting injured.
Luka, yeah. Their whole team's been in and out, but they're still winning games, which I think is the most impressive thing. I mean, Marcus Smart, 17 points.
So Nick Smith Jr., He's been
good. Same with Jake LaRavia. These guys are
The Hornets gave up on him way too quickly.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Hornets, disaster. Hornets are just
I thought they would actually be somewhat decent this year.
Really?
Okay, well, the definition of, like, somewhat decent is, like, 10 seed, 9 seed, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, Kalkbrenner has looked really good. Con Knipples looked really good.
That's true.
Sion James has been, like, in the rotation, I guess.
How about Bronny James? Real star of the show in the LA,
averaging 1.5 points.
I still believe he'll be a contributing player one day.
When?
Wow, yeah. Terrible take.
No, he's got the D'Anthony Melton archetype. So he could do it. I mean,
always comes back to the Sixers. Gabby, do we think Bronny James is ever going to be a contributing player to the NBA and the Lakers?
Not on the Lakers. I feel like you get rid of him too eventually.
How fast do the Lakers get rid of Bronny second LeBron retires?
It has to be
immediately.
With
I feel
LeBron.
I agree. Yeah.
Like LeBron announces next year's his last year. Is Bronny on the roster within 2 weeks after
actually,
LeBron's
no.
final?
Actually, no. I don't know if this is a hot take, but I think he definitely is. I feel like JJ Redick actually likes him. Like, there's a lot
Why?
There. Like he has.
He's not good
no,
at basketball.
Okay, that's not the point. He's a developmental player. He had a heart attack like 3 years ago. He has the athleticism to play in the NBA. He was cooking dudes in the G League. He can play in the NBA.
Yeah, like, but that is an entirely different league. You're not playing against the LeBrons.
It's translated
in the
before.
G-League.
Chris Boucher, former G League MVP.
Bit.
Paul Reed, former Sixer.
What's
former
his name
G-League
on the Bulls?
MVP.
Which one?
Matas Buzelis. He's a,
yeah,
he's
G League
Knights. Who? Buzelis.
Those guys are going to college now.
Right? Yeah. G League Knights not a thing anymore.
It's true.
They saw Scoot Henderson go second overall, and they're like, ah, oh, we got to get rid of this thing. Who also, for the gambling Blazers, they since you know Chauncey got you know locked up, rest in peace Chauncey. Not really.
Rest in peace
Chauncey. The mob had him hanging bricks over his feet over the Golden Gate Bridge,
wow.
But
like Siwa.
Yeah, I mean the Gambinos and the Gotties were coming for Siwa and Genovese, Chauncey. But I mean the Blazers are 5-3, no Scoot, but a lot of the West is packed. If you have teams like the Blazers that are good right now. You got the Suns, who are 4-5. I mean, you don't see a ton from the Suns, but still have the Clippers, the Grizzlies. The Pelicans have been decent. Not decent. The Pelicans have been terrible. I don't know why I said that. They also don't have their first-round pick.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We could get into that.
That whole thing is...
That is one of the worst, like, they biggest mismanagements of, like, assets I've ever seen.
The Pelicans traded their first-round pick next year to trade up for Derrick Queen. They barely play Derrick Queen.
Well, I do like Derrick Queen, though.
I like him, too, but
he looked good the other night.
This bad, you don't give up your unprotected.
No, it was because those picks could have been, like, 1 and 2 like,
yeah.
next year.
Because it's the Pacers pick, and, it was the unprotected
I don't know what
Pacers
Joe Dumars is doing.
He's not cooking. And right now, the last team in the West is the Mavericks, who are injured at the wazoo. Cooper Flagg hasn't been great. What do you guys think about Cooper Flagg so far? He's been struggling. Hasn't had the best start to his rookie year, but the Mavericks being 2-6, he said the other day, it's the most losing he's ever done. Where do you guys see the Mavericks finishing in the West?
It's a great question.
Especially as injured as they are.
I mean, Anthony Davis, not looking horrible, but like he is typically injured. Like
he is
basically always. I feel like Cooper Flagg, almost like there was so much hype about him, about being like this crazy addition to the NBA, that maybe it was just a lot of pressure for him, that like, you know, maybe unrealistic expectations for him to live up to. I think he's a great player, but I feel like, you know, there definitely is time to develop for him.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's early. He's good. He's still really good. He's still trying to find his place on this team. Like, he's only going to make them better, and he's probably one of the reasons why they are, like, still kind of in the conversation because there's so much potential surrounding him. But, yeah, for the foreseeable future, they're not going to, like, go on a crazy run or anything like that, I don't think.
Yeah, unless they can get healthy. You have to say, Colin. I don't see the Mavericks really. I mean, it's also going to be, like, such an injury-prone team.
I was just going to say, they also have him playing point guard. Like
they don't have a point guard. Well, they have D-Lo.
They have Cooper Flagg
yeah,
playing
that's what I'm
point
saying.
Guard.
He's playing point
he's
guard.
He's not used to that.
No.
Like,
yeah, he's
obviously,
not,
he's going to struggle a little bit with these smaller, like, athletic dudes.
And they threw him into, like, a system that is, like, just kind of so unorganized. I mean, they have, like, 6 bigs on their roster and just no, like, Kyrie Irving made it work because he's Kyrie Irving, but, and then you also have him playing with D-Lo, who just, you know.
He'll be fine, maybe just not Rookie of the Year. I mean, maybe that's
VJ Edgecombe.
Somebody on the Sixers.
I thought it was going to be Dylan Harper, but he's out now with a calf strain. The rookies have looked good this year, besides Cooper Flagg, but I think that's going to do it for us for this week's episode of Pick and Pod. I had a lot of fun Friday night, so let's get out of here. shout out Gabby Price, shout out Izzy Randazzo, and big shout out to Colin Banks, our producer. I've been Owen Kelty, and Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports.